The Future of Teamwork is a Leader production. Subscribe today and never miss an episode.
We all have these inflection points in life. It's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to allow this to destroy you, or are you going to allow it to elevate you?
Welcome to the Future of Teamwork podcast. My name's Dane Grunewald, and today I'm joined by Javon Wooden. Javon's based down there in Houston, where I've spent a lot of my time in the past. Love the city. And as the founder of Bright Mind Consulting Group, he's also the author of two books. The latest is Functional to Phenomenal. So we're going to be diving into all things business coaching, L&D, entrepreneurship, you know, making impact in the community. It's great to have you on the show, Javon.
Hey, great to be here, Dane. Thanks so much for having me, man. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too. So tell me about how you came to be doing all this cool work.
Man, you know, I want to start first a little bit of my background. So I'm a guy who came from Rochester, New York, didn't have much and was just looking to figure things out. And as I was looking to figure things out, I got in some trouble at the age of 17. I ended up sitting in a jail cell facing 7 years in prison. And, you know, one thing that stood out for me in that moment was it was the first time that I really sat within myself and asked myself, like, what are you doing? And when I asked that, I realized that what I was doing was looking at attaining the wrong thing, which was material possessions, money. And in that moment, I realized that I actually had something even greater, which was my mind. I was a sharp kid just going down the wrong path. So that was my first foray into really tapping into introspection. And while I was sitting in that jail cell, my mom had put up the house to get me a lawyer. And you know, that, if you think about that, which I didn't think about until I was older, that meant that my siblings, I have three sisters and a brother, and my mother would have been homeless if anything went wrong. That showed me the power of belief. Sometimes when you don't believe in yourself, you need someone else to show that you are valuable. And she did that in that moment. So fast forward, the judge showed me empathy and said, hey, I don't see you as this kid. I know, like, you were just going down the wrong path. Let's give you another shot. Let's see what you do with it. But if I see you again, you're doing all that time.
Wow.
And in that moment, man, I was just like, you know what? What can I do? What can I do? I just graduated high school, college. I couldn't pay for that. I worked 2 full-time jobs just trying to make a way for myself. None of that was the path I wanted to be on. I said, this cannot be life. So I joined the military. And in the military, it showed me the beauty of just leadership. And self-leadership first, and that's how I grew to the man you're seeing today, is the Army just threw me into situations that I'm like, I don't know if, what do I do here? And you just had to figure the heck out. But I realized that I didn't have to figure the heck out on my own. I could lean on the person to my left and my right. And in entrepreneurship, you're gonna need that. You're gonna need to ask for support. So that's how I wound up here, man. I wound up here because I knew that there was more to life, and I knew that my impact wasn't just tied to some kid just being a blip on the map who didn't do anything. I wanted to be someone who helped elevate other people and help them see their beauty and their power, like my mom and that judge did for me.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that story, Javon. And powerful, right? Like, you think about the amount of people on this planet that are kind of living life in cruise control. You know, they don't really have their hands on the wheel and they're just kind of going through it. But to have that scary moment, to have that, one of my friends calls them significant emotional events, to see both the fear, but also see the beauty of like your mom's belief and just going all in on you. That's a big transformation.
Yeah, man. We all have these inflection points in life. It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to allow this to destroy you, or are you going to allow it to elevate you? And, you know, as we know in this game, if you're talking about entrepreneurship, we're going to have a lot of those moments. They may not be that significant, that's catastrophic
right
in nature, but, you know, hopefully they're not. But you're going to have those points that really can define the impact that your business and your journey makes.
Yeah. And I love the military story, too. I'm always fascinated by people who have served and grown in that community, whichever branch, whichever nation. To me, there's something very interesting about, like you said, the leadership, the self-leadership, but also the teamwork, which, if I'm honest, in moments when I hear people tell those stories and when I think back to teams that I've been on, I'm always a little bit envious of like those teaming stories that they kind of came through in that moment of like growth and hardship.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, to me, that is the biggest takeaway that I got from my time in the Army was the importance of teamwork. Like, nothing we do in the military would work should someone think they were bigger than the team. Yeah. Should someone say, I can do this on my own. Because we literally, from the person in the rear detachment who's not in that battlefield with us, to the person that's leading that, kicking the door down, or even the person that's talking and going to do, you know, hearts, what we call hearts and minds initiatives, where we talk to the peoples in the community. We need every single person on that team. No one is more valuable than the other person.
Yeah. That's actually a great point. You talked about it with entrepreneurs, too. You kind of made that leap to, hey, entrepreneurs need to have those teams around them. But it goes beyond teams, doesn't it? I love the way that you explain, like, the community engagement, the active, like, you know, go kick doors down, and then the rear guard or logistics or whatever it might be, signal division, getting communications right. The reality is we rely on that ecosystem, and the systems through which teams can become effective, I think, are so often overlooked. We're so focused on the individual and the idea and maybe who's on the team, but not like how do different teams work together. And that becomes very exposed in an entrepreneurial small business community.
Absolutely. And I know some entrepreneurs listening, like, I don't have a team, right?
Yeah.
They might be a solopreneur, you know, or maybe they don't look at their partner as a teammate. But if you do not have a team, then you're selling yourself short already. Because what I say, like, you have to have a community who becomes your team. You know, we talk often about having boards of advisors, people you can go to who can help make sure, like, you're not making impulsive decisions that could be, you know, catastrophic to what you have trying to build. One of my favorite team members is my spouse, my wife. She's the one that tells me, did you think this through, babe? Like, okay, all right, let's bring it back a little bit. I know you want to change the world and do all these things, but have you thought about these things? And we have to have folks that really challenge our notions and challenge our thinking to make us better and see things from a different perspective if we are to really elevate to the levels where we aim to achieve.
Yeah, I love that. And I particularly love the call out of the wife or other people. It might be a husband or a dad or a mom or a close friend, but having those people who are close to you in life who aren't in the business, they're really important, particularly when they know you and they can have the trust and confidence to be able to call it out when other people might not.
Yeah, 100%, man. I that is the most valuable thing. I mean, if we think about masterminds, all right, those people become teammates too. If we think about any type of community we become a part of, it's so influential to your growth. It's so influential to you connect in different synapses in your mind to help you accomplish things that you couldn't otherwise do if you just do things in silos. And to me, I feel like that's one of the biggest shortcomings I see in business coaching is a lot of entrepreneurs, they try to wait. They're like, I got to wait till I get to this point to build a team or to have these folks in my sphere. And no, you should be doing it immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately we should have that. And we should be looking at what team members do I need to make sure this is successful.
I like that in particular, Javon, about redefining what a team is. We've worked with a few different people on the podcast. One of them, Dr. Ernesto Ciroli, who did a lot of work developmentally early in his career going into, you know, different nations. Whether it was in Africa or all Latin America or in rural Australia, and working in communities to bring out entrepreneurship. And one of the things that he always identified is, like, you don't need to employ someone 40 hours a week for them to be a team member. It could be, to your point, an advisor, someone who really knows financial bookkeeping or banking. It could be someone who's really good at manufacturing. Like, you've got a product idea and you just need an advisor who knows how to build that first prototype with you. And you can bounce off them for a few hours in a coffee shop and they're a team. No money needs to change hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the beauty of it, right? The team is what you need it to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also, you know, a lot of people also think in the W-2 standpoint, like, I need to hire someone. They need to be on my staff for them to be a team member. My business is run, I outsource a lot. Like yes. My team member, I've had my executive assistant / chief of staff for years. She's out of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Krisha, if you're listening, thank you for being you. Because I just feel like, you know, the beauty of what we're talking about here is if you introspect and learn yourself as an entrepreneur, you kind of learn what you need, where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are. And we can kind of build off of that.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a really good tie into what business coaching is, because we often talk about executive coaching, but business coaching, as you and I were talking about pre-show, is a little bit more than just working on the individual and the leadership. You're working on the business as well, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Yes. I mean, you can't call yourself a business coach if you don't know business. You know, like an executive coach, you can focus more on that person, right? You know, because a lot of times the issues we're seeing are tied to whatever is going on within them. Mm-hmm. But with a business coach, if I'm going to guide you, I need to understand profit loss. I need to understand value creation, value ladders, and all these different terms that are going to be put in place. I need to understand succession planning if they're looking to, you know, build a business that passes on. All these different things. I need to, based on whatever your goal is, be able to guide you through that thing. If you're looking to franchise, you know, I need to understand how we can kind of get to that point. So there's so much that goes into business coaching. And to me, that's what makes it fun. No day is the same.
Yeah. You like the variety.
I love the variety, man. And you get to meet so many cool people, right?
Yeah, that's super cool. And going back to your point on the chief of staff, only recently in the last year or so started working with the chief of staff. And boy, is it a game changer, particularly when you said, you know, learn what you need. Like there's things that I'm really good at and there's things that I'm not good at. And Lydia, who's my chief of staff, she like just comes in and just, you know, she needs to rattle my tree on a morning and say, hey, you're getting that wrong or you're disrupting us. Great. But otherwise I'll say we want to do this and she'll see the next two things we need to do and just mobilizes people, you know, actions, vendors, you name it. And it's so cool.
Yes. Yes. Isn't it interesting how like that one right person within the team can just be such a huge game changer, man. It's so amazing just seeing that.
Yeah, it is. And I think it scales you, right? I bet you there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I wish I could get Javon to look at this or Dane to look at that. And the reality is, well, if you go to the chief of staff, they're going to know kind of where we're operating, how we're prioritizing, how we're making decisions, how to coach that person, going back to coaching into, hey, bring it up in this way or at that time, or go and do a bit more work before you bring it up. And I think that is super helpful because we all live in this like crazy busy world. We're all very leveraged. We're always looking for maximum value. But when you can team up with someone who kind of knows you well enough to set everyone else up for success when we do find that time to come together, it's a real force multiplier.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned something very important, Dane, time. What I really appreciate about having the right folks on your team is time is utilized so effectively as long as you're intentional with it. Like, as the leader, I've realized that I don't always have to be the one to be intentional with it. Sometimes I'm so laser focused on something that my Chris would be like, hey, you know, we need to focus on this. Our priorities need to shift a little bit if we are to achieve the goals we set out to achieve. And having people who can kind of see that and have the safety to be able to let you know when you need to kind of shift and pivot, that's super invaluable, because oftentimes when we're in this entrepreneurial game, we use a lot of time on things because we believe so much in the vision that we should have probably, you know, went a different way a while ago. So it's great to have those people that kind of can see that 30,000-foot view while you're stuck in the maze that you're trying to get through.
You're right. And I'm hearing there, Javon, that attention is important. You need someone who can kind of call it out and not let you get stuck in that echo chamber, that, you know, all your own good ideas, that you need some tension to kind of call out, hey, have we thought about this? You know, what's going to prevent us from scaling that? They're important questions in a team.
Yeah, 100%. And it's also the beauty of having a coach. You know, as you get coached, you know, coach to me, the best coaches are the ones that ask those questions that ensure that you're like, hold up, did I think about that? Did I do this? You know, are there other steps I need to take before I do these things? And for me, that's like that in itself is something that I wished I would have done earlier in my career as well, is to take coaching seriously, getting a coach seriously, instead of just trying to figure it out and say, I got this, I'm a coach myself, I know this. It doesn't work that way, right? It's easier to coach someone else than it is to coach yourself oftentimes.
Big time, yeah. Well, it's kind of like going to the gym, right? I can go to the gym and I know what I should be doing, but I might be doing it a little bit wrong because I can't really look at myself in doing it, or I might not have the right program of work, or I might not have the accountability. So the coach helps on all of those things. You know, just knowing what you should do is never the same as doing what you should do.
Yeah, 100%, man. No, and also when it comes to teams, that's another thing I think that we should focus in on as well. It's like when you mentioned what should we be doing, to really have a holistic perspective, we need to be asking everyone, because there's no way for you to understand the day in, the day outs that's being done on everyone on your team. So we need to bring them together and say, hey, what do you need? You know, what's your area of focus right now? I need you to do this thing, but maybe it's not your top list. Maybe I told you something a while back to do that you're still working on. How can I support you? Like, there's so many key questions that we need to focus on to kind of optimize our teamwork. And a lot of us lose sight of that because we're in our own world, right? We have our own things to accomplish. But I really recommend everyone listen, just slow down for a little bit and ensure that you're being the team player you will want to have to your left and your right.
That actually ties beautifully into time, Javon, because it resonates with something that I'm hearing a lot of right now, which is we need to create more slack in our business, and slack with the intention of using it for setting clarity, for reviewing progress, for understanding each other's work, rather than always being on, task. And a friend of mine the other day was pointing out that the science is starting to suggest that in times of anxiety and fear, like, wow, the world's changing, there's all these new AI tools, you know, the economy's not great, whatever it might be, that people tend to bury their heads in the very concrete tasks of their job, which aren't always the tasks that are serving the rest of the team or the customer, because they're not really open to feedback and what might be changing in the moment. So, I really like the way you call out that need to kind of get back together and check in on what are we doing, your words, not only what should we be doing, but what help might you need or what questions might be coming up. It allows a team to be pretty dynamic, fluid, and kind of stay ahead, I would imagine.
Absolutely. You know, there's a saying, I always say, like, you don't want to be busy, you want to be purposeful. And so often we mistake the two for one and the same. Busy work is what you just mentioned, Dane. It's like we make a task list. We're like, oh, I'm going to do this, this, this. Oh, that felt great. But did it really move the needle forward at all? You know, chances are probably not. So what I do, I have I call my 3DA success formula. So the first D is delegate. We were just talking about delegation. We have our EAs and chiefs of staff and other folks that we can kind of give work that needs to be done, but not necessarily by us. And then we have the delay. Like, okay, we have so many great ideas as entrepreneurs. We need to kind of pause a little bit and say, all right, that's great, but maybe not in Q1. Maybe you need to push that to Q4 or another year.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, but not now. It doesn't fit into our goals and who we want to be, our identity as an org. And then you have delete. You know, we have some ideas. I know everyone thinks every idea they have is amazing, but some of them, they just have no business being in play at all. We just need to cut them out. I think it was Warren Buffett who talked about, like, write down your 10 best ideas and delete, you know, and keep maybe three.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure we're filtering that. And that's another benefit of having a teammate, to say, hey, what do you think of these things, and kind of working through it and talking through it. And then that A, of course, is automating. You know, how many of these tasks can we automate so we can focus on using our cognitive abilities on things that matter most from the human standpoint?
Yeah. So it's 3Ds and an A. What do you call it?
Yeah. 3DA success formula.
3DA. I like that. I'd never heard the automate. I'd heard of 4Ds, which was your 3Ds plus a 4th D of do, which what work do you decide as the entrepreneur to do? And the reason I've always liked that 4th D is, like, sometimes the customer expects to see the owner. Sometimes the team members expect to see the owner, whether that's walking the manufacturing line or going out to a customer event. or, you know, maybe actually sitting in the meeting to plan what you're going to automate. And you and I were talking pre-show, the thing that's great about small to medium businesses is most owners, founders, entrepreneurs have got their sleeves rolled up. So the work that they choose to do can have a lot of leverage internally and externally.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. You got to do something, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully when you're done with those, that 3DA, you already know, like, this is my portion.
That's right.
Revenue generating activities, right?
Yeah, that's it. You're absolutely right. That's cool. All right. Well, let's pivot into the book. So From Functional to Phenomenal, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Transforming Your Leadership and Business. Tell me a little bit more, like, what's the genesis of the book? How should a reader be thinking about why they need the book and what they're going to be getting from it?
Yeah, the beauty of this book is, one, I use stories to kind of make the point, so it's not boring and dry. let's keep that one, you know. And then two, you can leverage it as a reference guide. You know, me being a service-based business owner, as we spoke about, I really like to help service-based businesses. And the first thing we talk about in that is, one, like, what do you want to be known for? Like, a lot of us mistake the fact that we are a brand. Like, we have a brand, and your brand, especially if you're on a smaller scale, is going to be tied to what you do as the founder, as the person that's generating this business. So I talk a lot about that, how I've leveraged, you know, my brand to build Bright Mind Consulting Group. So it's not just that people are aware, but I'm also in that consideration stage, if you think about the marketing funnel, because it's cool and all to post content and get likes and all that. That's just vanity. It does nothing when it comes to actually building a business, you know? So yes, I want more eyes on it, but I need people to understand, like, I am not a coach. I am the coach. I am not a consultant. I am the consultant that can solve it. So I talk a lot about how you do that and do it organically, because a lot of folks go right to ads. Ads will only work if you have proven that your messaging works. So I get them to understand, like, how to develop the content, how to organically market yourself, you know, how to be in the proper spaces and speaking of time, how to ensure that you're leveraging your time properly so you can really not burn yourself out, but build something that is establishing a legacy you could be proud of. And in this book, I introduced my 5Y framework, which is, you know, I released this in May, so it's old now. A lot of people understand that. So it's my 5Y framework that I leverage to ensure that we have clarity. Because the biggest thing for a founder, for anyone really, is clarity, right? So I want to make sure that they spend some time thinking on this step, this phase, before they kind of move and jump to the awesomeness that is making sales and generating revenue. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, do we want to dive into the 5Y framework? Because I'm really intrigued now.
Let's do it. See, that's what I'm talking about. Making sure that people want to know more, want to hear more from me. So the 5Y framework, in essence, so the first Y is your yardstick. When we think of a yardstick, we think of measuring effectively. Chances are we're looking to build something and we want to make sure everything fits properly. Same in business, right? So to measure effectively, we don't need to just set a goal. We don't need to understand why that goal is the goal that we want to focus on. Why is that prioritized in the first place? So you really want to spend some time on that and be clear on that. Because if you're clear, then you should be able to communicate it to your team so they can become clear on their part and how it comes to play. So, and then the second why is yield. When you think of yielding, a lot of folks think of retreating or regressing or falling back or stopping. But in my sense, yielding is making space. So you want to make space for other people to step up and take ownership of that success so you can co-create it with them. That's the beauty of teamwork, which is why I love the title of your show. And it's also looking at, you know, what do you need to make space for as far as other resources? Do we have the proper people? Do we have the proper revenue? Do we have the proper technologies? Whatever it is that you need to be thinking about. So that's the second why. The third why is YAR. And YAR is an old nautical term. If we think about one of those speed boats, like competitive sailboating, and they're able to flip around and turn and do all this other stuff without capsizing, that's how we want our organizations to be. We want to be able to be responsive, move with speed, but ensure that we don't turn it over so the race isn't done. And the way you do that, that 3DA success formula falls underneath that. But also we look at how we build in contingencies within the business. You know, a lot of what we need to do is be more responsive versus being reactive. Most of us don't spend time really thinking about if we do this, then this, you know, and building contingencies. So that's where that YAR comes in, to make sure we're agile and responsive, but we're not taking ourselves out of the game.
We do not want to capsize the boat and throw the team in the water.
Exactly. You know, we got people depending, and we're dependent on this ship to sail properly to the destination, right? Yeah. And then after that, and of course, this is all a quick summary. After that, there's yoga. When I think of a yogi, I think of someone who is graceful, but not graceful because of the sense they never fall out of a pose, but because they're able to be aligned and they understand what's accessible to them in a moment, but they're also flexible enough and adaptable enough to shift positions when it's no longer serving them. And as entrepreneurs, as businesses, we need to understand when an ideal is no longer working for us. We need to understand when maybe we don't need to be the CEO anymore. Maybe we need to get someone else. Maybe we need someone else to who has a fresh set of ideas to come in, like that chief of staff. So you need to be flexible enough to not be so tied to an idea, to a position, or to your vision that you're not willing to adapt to what the market needs and what your business needs. Right. So that's flexible in essence. And then you have the last one, which is what we all want. We want yearn. We want people to yearn to be a client. We want people to yearn to want to work with us and for us and experience what we have to offer. So yearn is really the culmination of doing the other four whys properly, because if you do that, then the value creation that you're having for the people that work for you and with you, they're going to want to evangelize everything. They're going to be like, oh, Dane's so amazing as a business coach. Like, he got me to scale 10x my revenue. I didn't even think it was possible, right? That's how you want people to do, because that's the easiest marketing is free marketing, which is word of mouth and having people want to talk about you. That's when you're going to have ambassadors of your brand. That's when you're going to get user-generated content. You're going to get these awesome testimonials. You're going to get referrals. All those things aren't possible if you are not making sure the experience you have makes people want to yearn to work with you. So that's the five whys in essence.
That's so cool. And number one, congrats for picking some really original words, because I'm so sick of all the business jargon out there. Like, your words, I'm a curious guy. I'm like, I like these whys. I can really get excited about these.
I wanted something that was fun, you know, and reflected, one, my personality, but also, you know, really spoke to, it sticks with you. Like, you picture a yogi, you're like, oh, flexible, cool.
Yeah.
A YAR ship, you be picture it zooming and zipping. So, you know, just, I'm a big person that, you know, creates visuals with words. So I'm glad that.
Yeah, it's definitely hitting for me. I'm intrigued by like the YAR and the yogi, because one feels like it's in the moment. You need to build something that can zip and pivot and isn't going to capsize. And the other feels like more maybe longer horizon, getting ready to kill ideas. Maybe we're going to shift from this boat to another boat to do a different type of race. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One is when you think about YAR, it's really about the culture you're developing. So the culture is allowing yourself to be so responsive. And then yoga, like you said, is more longer term, ensuring that we remain in alignment. You know, if we're saying something, then are our actions reflecting what we're saying? And if I'm saying I have as a example, if I'm saying that as a leader, there's an open door policy.
Yeah.
Do I actually allow people to come and tell me their thoughts about how we can be better? You know, or am I just closed off and I'm just giving people lip service? Like, things like that, that's where that flexibility and alignment really show.
The other thing I love about this, Siobhan, is that this works for an entrepreneur in a small business, but also works for a departmental manager in a large corporation.
Absolutely.
Like if you're running, you know, a product team, a sales team, an accounting team, an IT team, like if you know your yardstick, if you're clear on yield, your yoga yearn, if you're going to get to that point where everyone's like, I'm going to Siobhan's team when I next need this.
Exactly.
I want to work on Siobhan's team because I know that, you know, he's done a great job of not only serving his internal customers or external customers, but he's developed talent, and talent has a good experience there. So it sounds to me like the book's got a fairly universal application in that regard.
Yeah, and that's what I was looking to do, Dane, was making it so it was universal, it scales with you.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the concepts in this is like you can really apply it to whatever your situation is.
Yeah, that's super cool. So as you think about businesses that are out there right now, there's a leader who's listening or there's a leader who just happens to kind of call on you and say, hey, I want to start doing some of this work. Is it chronological? Do you start right away with the yardstick or can you kind of get in and assess the business on all five whys and kind of pick where you might start? Give me a bit more of a flavor there.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So the yardstick, we definitely want to start with that because if you aren't clear on that, everything else is off or not. But the rest of them, we can kind of jump around a bit. But I like to go through it all because a lot of times we have blind spots. So we may think that we have the people or the resources in that yield. But if we really go through and document it, we're missing something that might be critical and crucial that may not allow us to be that may not allow us to remain flexible. So I like to do it linearly and like make sure we're clear on each. But some folks, you know, I've come in and done this work. Some people are like, hey, let me just start in the ER. How do I make this thing where I'm adaptive and responsive? So, I give the people what they want, but also give them what they need by saying, like we talked about those questions. Hey, did you think about this? Tell me more about how you came up with that goal, you know, stuff like that. Who's going to be that person that helps you as you look to achieve this success? So that's how I kind of get them to go back and look at some of these otherwise if they wanted to start at a different point.
That makes sense. Yeah, and so if you're a leader out there and the company's like, because I always like transposing these things onto someone else's reality. So let's say you're a vice president, you've got a function or a business unit, and they've already rolled out the corporate strategy and OKRs, and that's all landing on you. It sounds like you can still work out what your yardstick is in your division, absolutely. In your department, absolutely. Even though there's something coming down from above. You're not the true entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at intrapreneurs, a term that most folks use these days, because you still need to think entrepreneurially if you're owning a department, owning a function, right? So how I look at it is it's even more beautiful if you've already gotten the OKRs from the top, because now it's like, okay, we want to increase our ARR by 100% next year. Okay, great. How does this tie into my department? What function do we have? Oh, we're marketing. So if we want to increase it, then we need to make sure we maybe need more ad spend. Maybe we need more marketing people, right? You know? So then we can kind of create our yardsticks based on what's already been given. And then that could trickle down to each member of our team, which is the most important thing, right? Making sure they understand their part to play in it.
Yeah, that's super cool. Because you can see that playing out in small or large business. And it goes back to your point on creating that time to check in on what's everyone doing and where do they need help. Like, it's easy to set a marketing campaign and go out hard for 6 months. You're spending money on all the conferences, you're buying ads in the different platforms, and your goal might be to grow ARR by 100%, but actually it's not happening for one reason or another. You're getting loads of demos, but no one's buying, or you're not getting any demos or whatever it is. And it's just like, how has a team built a system to come back and assess that measurement and, you know, maybe challenge some assumptions, maybe to your point, going back to the yoga, to actually just drop that idea and say, hey, we did it for 3 months, it's not working, what can we learn and what do we do next?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite tools is simple but very powerful. Like in the military, we have after action reviews. Taking that time to kind of slow down and say, okay, what was the purpose? What was the stated goal? What happened? What was supposed to happen? What went well? What do we need to change? It has nothing to do with like pointing fingers at anyone. It's really looking at it from an objective perspective. And then we can take action. And that's what I love about that yoga is like, okay, great. We set this goal. Maybe we didn't measure it properly. Maybe we didn't realize what it was going to tell. Maybe we only looked at internal. We didn't think about the external things that we don't control. So it really allows you to think in that way to say, all right, let's look at this as a learning. Let's look at this as an opportunity to kind of reallocate that goal setting and reallocate where we're spending some of our resources. So I have fun with it, and the clients, they do exactly what you're talking about here, Dane, because it's a standpoint to also gamify it, too. Because if you think about the yardsticks, it's like, all right, team, like, no judgment here, judgment-free zone, but where do you think, you know, we need to do this? Like, let me know your yardstick. What are you putting for yours? Do we have
the yield? Oh, that's cool.
We says, right. So you can break it down into a team building exercise too, to allow people to get that clarity on their individual levels. So I love to do it from bottom up, top down.
Thank you for creating clarity on that. I hadn't thought of it as being able to scale down into the team.
Mm-hmm.
But if an individual can have their own yardstick or be thinking about yield or any of the other whys, then that's actually quite powerful too, because you're creating a common language then, which
yes.
So often I find that businesses get stuck when they try and fix problems with people, where actually the problem is so rarely the problem with the person, it's the problem with the system of work. Yes. So if you can use the whys as a somewhat of a diagnostic or a planning tool, you can understand that, hey, between if Javon's got sales and if Dane's got engineering, as we look at each of their roles in that, we can say, hey, Dane's got a problem here on yoga. Like, he is just stuck on this feature, and Javon's in sales and he's hearing this stuff from customers all of the time. How are we going to help Dane to shift his thinking and why that feature isn't what customers want and why we need to go to a new feature?
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because like underneath each of these wires, there's exercises that we can do for that. So for instance, under the yoga, empathy mapping. So if I know that I work with this other person in the team, empathy mapping is going to ask, like, what are they seeing? What are some of the common gripes that I'm hearing? What are some of the challenges? How can I make it easier on them? What questions do I need to be asking them to ensure we understand one another? So yeah. You know, we do have tools that, like you're talking about, underneath each why.
That's very powerful. I like that. So the big question, and I love that you brought up empathy. We were talking about that pre-show. As you start thinking about these systems, these tools, these frameworks, and then you deal with like small businesses, and then you throw AI into the mix, like where do you see AI helping or hindering these teams as they kind of deploy five whys?
You know what's interesting, Dane, is the biggest hindrance for me when it comes to AI is what people think it can do. It's like, you know, I've seen the organizations get rid of whole departments thinking that it can do the things that only a human can do. AI doesn't have context, and it's pattern recognition. So when you think about institutional knowledge, when you think about, you know, contextually understanding how we interact with our customers, for example, those things are uniquely human. Now, what I like to say is AI does not stand for artificial intelligence. It stands for augmented intelligence. So if we instead use it as a tool rather than a crutch, now we're playing ball. So there's some beautiful, beautiful tools that allow us to become a force multiplier. So one person can do a lot more work because they don't have to do the mundane tasks. Right.
Yeah.
So that's where I see the beauty of it. It's like, okay, AI, I do this thing every day. Let me write an SOP, for example, of how someone else may be able to do it for training. You know, that's when the beauty of it happens. The human, though, needs to feed it the proper information to ensure. And then that human also needs to do quality control, because AI, we already know, it spits out stuff. And you're like, where did you get this from? It's like, oh, sorry, I made that up. I thought that's what you wanted. You know, so we need
totally.
To make sure that we're not just becoming so lazy in our thinking that we're just passing things off to AI and like, oh, you can handle this. And then now everyone sounds the same. Everything looks the same. Idea creation and innovation goes down the toilet. So we need to make sure that we're not doing that if we really want to sustain and be around for the next 5-10 years.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good advice. Are there any AI tools that you're enjoying right now in your business coaching, or you're seeing other customers use in a particular use case?
Yeah, I mean, I like Perplexity. I like Claude. You know, Claude is really one of my writing friend. I really enjoy using it for writing and brainstorming. Perplexity, I like the questions. It gets me, you know, I'll have that up real time as long as my client is okay with it. And I'll have it listed. So I say, oh, what am I not asking? Like, what resources can I use? What exercises can I be giving them so they can leverage? So that's how I like using those types of tools. Even ChatGPT is good at that sometimes. Coming up with exercises. And then Gemini, I really like it for planning, because Gemini will challenge you and say, I don't think that's a good idea. Here's why, you know, or here's what some of your competitors are doing, for example. Have you done market research on this? So I like those different tools for that. And then I like Gamma for like presentation creation. Yeah. So if I got to do like a PowerPoint or something like that, I love Gamma. So there's so many tools out there.
It's cool how they each have their own like personality, right?
They do, man. Yeah. It's kind of freaky, man. But
it is.
But I love those tools. I'm not quite with the whole faceless creation and all that stuff yet. Yeah. I kind of want myself to be there. Some people like to use that stuff when they're talking about creating marketing materials and stuff.
Are you using any, particularly when you're working with founders, are you using any like assessment tools?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What do you go to is there?
So corporate wise, I use like Harrison and Hogan are two good ones, because a lot of companies already use like DISC and EIQ. They have people internally, yeah, if I'm working with them. So Harrison and Hogan are ones they don't typically have. And then for a founder or entrepreneur, I still like EIQ and DISC. And the reason why is because once you understand, like from an emotional standpoint or from a behavioral pattern standpoint, how you interact with someone, now I can coach you based on that. And we can kind of look at past experience, like, why did this person get on my nerves? From a DISC standpoint, I'm a D and they're a C. So I'm someone who doesn't need all that information, but they're asking me for it and it's bothering the heck out of me. I don't want the details. Yeah. I just want to get it and go. So things like that is what I think about from entrepreneurial or founder perspective, is how do we think and how do we process information? And most of us, we're like, okay, I ain't got time to go drill out in all the details. But our team members may need that, right, to perform at the higher level. So where's the happy medium? And you find that with these assessments.
That's neat. That's super neat. I've actually got another one I got to introduce you to. My friend Jason Carroll, who was a guest of the show, he's actually just up the road from you in Austin. And he built Aptiv, which is a new assessment, but he's got this native AI in it. There's something in my mind that tells me, gee, if I could take the Aptiv index profile with the Aria AI and then the 5 Whys, some really cool stuff could come up, because you can start saying, hey, if Javon and Dane are trying to do this, or they're having a problem on yoga, how can they bring that to bear? Because sometimes the exercise is good, awesome, but you need to kind of like warm people up to it so that they come into the exercise with an understanding that they're not being judged. This isn't a problem. We're just exploring what may be possible. And I think that's where the magic happens.
100. I wholeheartedly agree on that. I need to look that up, man.
I'll hook you up straight after the show.
Yeah, perfect. I'm looking at them like, wow, let's make that happen, man. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And what I'll also do is I'll put out in the show notes, I'll put the links both to your book, but also to the Aptiv Index, because we're going to start having more listeners and community members of the show kind of do the Aptiv Index, because I think it creates opportunities for us to kind of see where some of these tools are going to be landing. I think in the future, we're going to see more and more teams that, you know, they don't want to start from like, I have to build everything from the ground up. They're going to be like, I've got this problem right now. Who can I go to? Is it Javon for this? Is it Billy for that? So-and-so for this other thing? And like, how do we get that activation going? Because the world's moving quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I'm glad you mentioned that, like, who do I go to? Because a lot of folks I'm seeing is they don't really see the value anymore of having a human coach or a human guide, because they're like, oh, AI can tell me. Like, no. No,
that's dangerous.
They really can, man. That's super dangerous, man. So I'm glad you brought that up. Like, let's use it as augmentation. Let's use it as a tool like it was designed to be. Do not use it to replace humans. Like, that is super dangerous.
Super dangerous. Well, it's been an awesome conversation. Thank you for sharing your original kind of genesis story there, that significant emotional event, the belief from your mom, the decision to really go and use your gifts and your mind. I love the military experiences. We got into like teams and you know, stepping into your own leadership and the way you need to rely on others and systems. But when we really got into like the chief of staff, the value of having the right people on the team, and the 5 Whys framework, which I just find so original and like accessible, actionable. That excites me. I think there's a lot of team leaders and founders out there that can benefit from just taking a bit of time to go through those factors and to be thinking about, you know, how are they creating that clarity? How are they creating that review process and that connection on their teams, however they may define teams to do amazing work and to bring good impact to their communities at large.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate your time, Dane. Appreciate you sharing this platform with me. Fun conversation. Love the energy. Love the beard. I'm working on mine.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
So I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you. And if any of our listeners want to find the book or find you at Bright Mind Consulting, where should they be going?
Yeah, you can go to brightmindcg.com. brightmindcg.com. You can see the book. You can message me. You can connect with me on all the socials. So I look forward to having you. And let me know that you heard me on The Future of Teamwork.
Sweet. Thanks, Siobhan. It's been an absolute blast.
My pleasure, man. I'll see you.
Just a quick note before we go. The views and opinions shared in this episode are those of our guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, Dane Gruneveld, the Leader Group, our patron Huddle 3, or our partners and affiliates. Any scenarios discussed are for the purpose of fueling creative thinking and conversation and should be viewed only in this context. Dane, Leader, our sponsors, partners, and affiliates do not endorse any guest or any organization they may be associated with. It's important to remember that every workplace is as individual as the people within it. Our recommendation is to always seek solutions that are specifically designed to help serve your team's unique needs. And to this point, please know we're here, ready to help you find the best way forward, no matter where your starting point is. You can connect with Dane or myself, Alicia McCraw, on LinkedIn or via the links contained in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in. And hey, if you think someone in your network would benefit from this episode, feel free to share it or give us a 5-star rating. Those 5 little stars really help us reach more curious people like you. We'll catch you next time on The Future of Teamwork.